we see this co-optation of all meaning more or less constantly in this culture of lies. If our ability to think clearly about our circumstances is destroyed, our ability to resist is severely hampered. And if we can't, one of the means that is used to harm our ability to think clearly and therefore to resist is the destruction of language. And this happens so often as to be almost invisible to us, and it happens on every level. It happens in domestic violence situations. It happens in sort of familial abuse situations where no matter where the abuser says, "Why did you make me do it?" Where the, by doing so, the abuser, places himself as, labels himself as the real victim. And we all know that this happens constantly, that perpetrators not only position themselves, but actually perceive themselves as the real victims, destroying any notion of the words aggression, defense, perpetrate. And we see this co-optation of resistance more or less We see this co-optation of all meaning more or less constantly in this culture of lies. I mean, recall that I think one of the most important things I've ever said is, in order to maintain a way of living, we must tell lies to each other, and especially to ourselves. And these lies are not merely that we can manage a force without killing it, that management actually is management and not killing, that you can have capitalism and a world too. It's not merely all of those, but it also infects every aspect of our attempts at resistance. And one of the common things that happens in this culture, I don't know about other cultures, is that it routinely co-opts resistance or revolution into meaninglessness, so that we've talked before about how you can get a million people marching on the streets of Washington, D.C. or New York or Paris, and if you ask them what they want, they say they want, why they're marching, they say they're marching in order to save the planet. But if you ask them for specific demands, their demands are that they want subsidies for the wind and solar sectors of the industrial economy. And that's a classic co-optation of the attempt, this movement to attempt to save the planet, into something that not only is not harmful to capitalism, but is central to the functioning of capitalism. And that's one of the things that this culture excels at, is taking any movement that's going to go some other direction and co-opting it to actually serve its own destructive ends. And one of the places I first encountered this in my studies decades and decades ago was when I realized that, you know, Jesus walked around talking a message of love. And, you know, we can talk about problems with Jesus, but that's not the point here. We'll just sort of accept for now that there's this message of love your neighbor and within and love your enemy, you know, a message of peace and love and social justice, as it were. And within a couple of hundred years, people were killing each other in Jesus's name. And give it a little bit longer than that, and Christianity was a religion of empire. And that's an extraordinary accomplishment, except it's not extraordinary. It's actually quite ordinary. This is exactly what happens, that you take a concern for the natural world, and now we can, without blinking, talk about increased mining. We can have headlines like sacrificing the desert to save the world, in terms of actually putting in industrial solar energy generation facilities. So we can talk about saving the planet. By there, they're talking about mining the ocean floor to save the planet. This is absolutely no different than the Vietnam War absurdity of destroying the village to save it. And this is what this culture does, is co-opt everything. For example, we can have let's see how the words resistance and how the words revolution have been co-opted. Just look up on Google, join the revolution or join the resistance. Here's join the resistance. The DNC wants to join the resistance. Join the resistance against Trump. That's the Democrats. Join the resistance. The resistance is a grassroots movement of Christians concerned for life coming together to fight Planned Parenthood. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it's fucking crime thing. Join the resistance. Fall in love. How do you join the resistance? Resistance to today's tedious, socially restrictive, culturally constructed, constrictive, humanly meaningless world. Love transforms a world, and so does fucking shoplifting, and fucking in public for that matter. ACLU, for God's sake, launches a website for anyone that wants to join the resistance. What you do is they have a way you can give them donations. So yeah, it's the word is being made. That's what they do with everything, is they make every word meaningless. When we live such that buying a form of chocolate can be joining the revolution, or buying a pair of shoes from Nike. There's Nike Revolution shoes that you can buy at JCPenney. And that word has been rendered meaningless. And if the words resistance, revolution don't mean anything, how do we discuss them? It's similar to what the genetic modification of organisms is doing to organisms, that suddenly you can have potatoes with flounder genes. What does potato mean? What does flounder mean at that point? What do genes mean? What does reproduction mean? What does any of this mean? And likewise with the whole transgender movement, with the word woman has been destroyed and is being destroyed. And what happens when you can no longer define woman, and how do you talk about men's violence against women? What is this? This is an absolutely standard part of this culture's incessant and relentless drive to turn. See, here's part of the problem, is that when you cut yourself off from the source of all life, if you're connected to the source of all life, you can live. If you are disconnected from the source of all life, if your movement is fundamentally parasitical, then you have to get that source of energy from somewhere. And this is one of the things that this culture has excelled at, is having removed itself from an embodied and necessary and connection at every level to the land, to the source of all life. It has had to get the energy to keep itself moving from somewhere. And that energy has come from the enslaved bodies of non-human animals. And it's come from the enslaved bodies of human animals. It's come from the bodies of women. It comes from vibrant revolutionary movements that do reconnect. And what this culture does is try to figure out how to suck their energy and to turn their energy back into something that supports the system itself. And it has been, and I'm using a sex-based word for this intentionally, it has been absolutely masterful at that. So what do we do? I think one of the things that we do is we hang on tight to the meanings of words, and we don't allow them to be destroyed. And we also attempt to tell the truth as much as we can and as clearly as we can. And we attempt to make manifest, in this case, when we talk about resistance and revolution, we attempt to make manifest what real resistance and real revolution are and look like, and give models for people to grab onto, to hold tight against the overwhelming tide of money and dysfunction that attempts to turn everything toward abusive and destructive ends.